This is the entire conversation that we had with Brett Cross, who is the father of Usaya Garcia. This was a 10-year-old boy who was killed at Robb Elementary during one of the worst school shootings this country, this world has ever experienced. I'm grateful for the conversation. I assured him that the podcast would be completely unedited, and that's what we did. So here's how it all went.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Brett, it's Dana Cortez.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. How are you doing today?
I am as good as can be.
It's hard to ask that question. I'm always uncomfortable when we begin conversations that are going to be difficult, especially when it is a parent who's going through something. Now, I've never spoken to anyone who's going through what you are and the other community members there in Uvalde, from the teachers to the parents of the children to the children who were in class during this situation, you know, the trauma they're still experiencing.
Yes, ma'am.
I sent you some questions, but the one thing I want to make sure is that we just have a conversation. I want to give you the time to speak, you know, whatever you want to say. This is a free space. This is a safe space. So I want to make that clear.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about your son, Usaya Garcia, only 10 years old. Where were you when the shooting took place at Robb Elementary on May 24th, 2022? And how did you find out what happened?
Yes, ma'am. So I was at work. I was working on wind turbines, and I was in my office putting together some promotional packets and stuff so that, you know, the guys could get raises and whatnot. And I got the phone call from my wife, and I picked it up, and she's just screaming, saying, "There's a school shooter. This isn't a joke."
Oh my
gosh.
And
then I hung up. And so I ran out to my car. I told my lead, because he was right there beside me. I'm like, "Yeah, I've got to go." And he's like, "Get out of here." I got in my car and I started driving. My office was about 30, 45 minutes away. And so I just get in my car and I'm just driving. And I'm going about 100, 110. I have police passing me and everything.
Everybody's headed in the same direction, obviously.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we have a Border Patrol station on my way back from work, and it was wide open. I mean, they were just telling people to go through. And so I was driving about 100, 110 all the way there, and I get a call about halfway there, and she's like, my wife's like, "The shooter, he's in the fourth grade hall."
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, you know, said a bunch of expletives that I can't say right now, but I'm like, it's okay, you know, Uzi's going to be fine, you know. And then I hear the shots going off in the background, and my wife just starts crying uncontrollably. I can hear other parents screaming, and I tell her I'll get there as soon as I can. I'll get there as soon as I can, and we'll go in. I don't care. She hung up, and then I'm pulling into town, and she calls me and tells me they're taking the kids to the civic center, to go to the civic center. So I go there, and she shows up, and we're waiting, and buses start coming with children, and there, every time a bus comes up, you know, everybody would rush up forward, you know, to see if their kids were on the bus, and they would call the teacher's name and of the class that they were dropping off. And, you know, Uzi's teacher's name never got called.
So you knew, and your wife knew.
I in my heart knew early on, because I have another 10-year-old son who was in fourth grade as well, but he wasn't at school that day. And so I called him, and I'm like, "Buddy, you know, there was a school shooter. I can't get a hold of Uzi. He's not answering his phone. Can you call your friends and see if they've seen him or heard from him?" Because we were getting reports that kids had ran to the neighborhood, to all these different places, which wasn't true. But that was the information that we were given. So, you know, I tell my son, I'm like, "Hey, call your friends." And he calls me a few minutes later, and he goes, "Dad, nobody knows where he's at. But they said that Mr. Reyes was shot," which was his teacher.
Oh my
God. At that moment, I knew, you know, But I kept telling my wife, I'm like, no, it's okay. It's, you know, he's somewhere, you know, he's not there. He's somewhere.
Were you and your wife able to see Uzi at the school, or was he transported to a hospital? How did that come about?
We weren't able to see him for 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, ma'am.
Why?
So the funeral home told us that we couldn't, and until we brought him clothes, and like, it was a week and a half before they told us that. So we went out and got him funeral clothes, and then they finally let us see him 2 weeks later. We have issues with that we're going to look into, because we shouldn't have not been able to.
It doesn't make any sense to me why they would not allow the child's legal guardians to see him when you asked for that. I mean, and also just 2 weeks, you're already going through so much, and to have to wait that long, it's nonsensical. Yeah, it just prolongs the pain. So I want you to tell me about Uzi. I want people listening to know about him. What did he like? What was his favorite sport, favorite subject in school? What music did he listen to?
So he was probably the most energetic person I've ever met in my entire life. He didn't stop. Every day when I'd get home from work, he would come out and want to race.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had to show him what's up, you know. You got to learn how to lose gracefully, but he was quick, you know.
Yeah.
And he was always going. He would play his Oculus. He was always playing Gorilla Tag and swinging around and smacking people as they walked through the door and hitting walls. And he just never stopped. I mean, he was just so full of life and energy. And he was the one that would go out of his way to make you smile, to make you happy if you were having a bad day. And it's almost criminal that he's not here to help put a smile on our face while we go through this, you know?
As a parent, it's unimaginable to me that you and your wife and all of the other parents, not just Uvalde, we go back to Sandy Hook, we go back to Columbine. I mean, this is not a new phenomenon, and I don't want to get political per se, but when I was reading about it, because I'm from Texas, so this is not a story that we just bypass. We still talk about it to this day, you know, because it affected our community. And I was looking, Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez called what happened to Uvalde the worst response to a mass shooting in history. And it was. Congressman Tony Gonzalez, who is a Republican, by the way, broke with his party and voted for more gun safety and was censored by the Republican Party. Why can't people just come together? You know, every child in there had parents who were Democrats or Republican parents. Nobody goes into these schools thinking about political parties. Have you heard from Texas Governor Abbott or Senator Cruz since everything happened? And what do you want to see from the government? What changes do you want?
Yeah, I've actually had conversations with Tony, and it wasn't a good conversation per se, because when we went up to D.C. to talk to him, because we were asking for a ban on the assault weapons. Mm-hmm. And he sat there, and I mean, they're politicians. They know how to talk circles. So I made him stop, and I said, just yes or no. Do you stand with us or not? And he told us, he goes, no, I don't. I don't believe in breaking our Second Amendment and everything. And I said, would that have changed had it been your children in that class? And then he ended the conversation. So,
of course, because nobody wants to think like that, but it's happening. It's happening across the country. And until it touches your life, it doesn't seem that people care. I don't understand the lack of empathy. What about Texas Governor Abbott or Senator Cruz? What have they said to you and the other families?
Me and Abbott have beef. So he came down. I think he came down twice. And the first time was for that press conference where he was told everybody that it could have been worse. You know, 19 kids and two teachers are laying dead, but it could have been worse.
I thought that was such a disgusting comment. You don't make light of that kind of situation, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, how could it be worse for us? You know, it can't be. But so he came down and had a meeting just to say that he spoke with us. And all he wanted to do was talk about mental health, which is an issue and needs to be resolve, but he has actually pulled funding from mental health. So I just asked him, I said, you know, can you name one victim? And he couldn't. And I said, can you even name my son? You're in here meeting with me over the biggest school shooting in Texas, and you can't even tell me my son. Like, your assistants didn't help you. And he told me, he goes, yeah, not off the top of my head. He just seemed very, like, he didn't care.
How can you sit there to meet with somebody who's gone through horrible circumstance that you and the other families are going through for the rest of your lives will go through, and not do a little research, not try least to pretend to care?
Yeah, I mean, and that, I mean, I got to give him props on that. At least he didn't act like he cared. You know, he was straight up that he doesn't care. And the only thing that he cares about is his wallet.
Well, he's one of the top receivers of donations, campaign NRA donations money. From NRA. Yeah, I mean, I looked that up as well. Okay, what about Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz? Has he said anything to you and the families that you know of, or the other families?
He met with Lexi Rubio's parents, Kim and Felix, and, you know, they were trying to talk to him about this because, as we all say, it's not a matter of if this will happen, it's when it'll happen again.
Unfortunately, you're right.
Yes, ma'am. And so they even showed him a picture of Lexi in her casket, and it's out there. It's on the internet. You can see it. He didn't care. He looked at it like he was looking at a picture of baseball or something like that. So, you know where Cruz stands. I mean, he's not man enough to stand up to the former guy who was talking about his wife. So he doesn't care about anything but his damn self.
Nobody is more weak than him. I hate to say that, but I can't imagine somebody comparing me to a dog and then my husband, DJ Automatic, licking their boots. I mean, I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. I feel so sorry for his wife. I want to ask you this because the reason that we even connected, that we get to talk to Mr. Cross, is because you're working on music. Is this part of your healing? Is this something that you're doing to help? Is this something you've been doing for a long time? Was Uzi involved in that? You know, how did that come about?
Yes, ma'am. I like writing, and it's something that I've done from a very young age, mm-hmm. To, you know, just help cope with life, you know? And so, you know, our big thing, like, we are both big into music. Unfortunately, he liked all that new mumble rap that I can't stand.
Oh, come on. We love it. We love it.
I can't stand it. I grew up with Pac and Biggie and M and Tech and all of them, so I just can't do it. But he wanted to start writing. And so I actually have some of the lyrics that he wrote that I'm going to do something with someday. But I write, and my thing is I've always got music going, playing somewhere mm-hmm. in the background and, or, you know, everywhere. And I know how it helps me, and I know how it helps other people. And I feel like, I'm not an artistic person. Like, I can't draw or anything, so I can't do a beautiful mural for him or anything. So I figured, let me, along with everything else that I'm doing, let me, you know, memorialize him and this fight in music.
I mean, because you have not stopped, and you will not stop since this happened. And I don't blame you. I see the parents, the Sandy Hook parents, still going to this day. That was so long ago. But because to them, it was like yesterday. They don't get to see their children grow up. You don't get to see your child grow up. And it's a constant thing that keeps happening over and over. And yes, of course, we have to deal with mental illness. But like you said, the people that are barking mental illness don't want to fund it. It's not free. It takes money to deal with that. You know, it takes money to have the services that are necessary to really help people. So who's going to come up? Who's going to say, hey, let's do it? Nobody. And then the guns as well. I am a responsible gun owner. DJ Automatic and I have guns in our home. We don't want people like, and I will not say that person's name, who went into Robb Elementary to have guns ever, 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 yes. ever. And we need yes. to have some type of check. Test something before you buy a gun. You have to do it before you drive a car. It's not. Yes, I don't care. I'll take a test, whatever. And if you're so worried about that, maybe there's a problem with you. You know, maybe you got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you said, like I've made that comparison before. You have to insure your car. You have to get inspections. You have to register mm-hmm. it every year. And a lot of people will make that argument. Oh, well, oh, cars kill more people. Cars were designed for travel. They weren't designed to kill. Guns were designed to kill. And me, I am a responsible gun owner as well. I have a gun. I have it for my home protection. But I'm also don't base my whole personality on a weapon.
I think it's weird. I think it's strange when I see people posting pictures with their kids for Christmas and all the guns. I'm sorry. I just think it's strange. Like, it says something about you.
It's part of the American decaying culture.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When do we protect guns more than kids?
Exactly. Yeah, and it almost seems cowardly. If you have to take all your pictures with a gun, like, you're just telling their... I grew up, you know, back in the day, like, where you scrapped.
Thank you.
You caught an ass whooping, you caught an ass whooping. But now people can't even do that.
Oh, I know.
It's like, oh, we're going to pull a gun. Like, catch your ass whooping and move on.
And live to, remember the boy, what was that, Friday? He lived to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
You're killing each other. We're destroying this beautiful country. And when we care more about guns than people, it will only get worse. The decaying of our society automatic. That was a perfect way to put it. Now, I do want to ask you this, Mr. Cross. You've talked to us about Uzi. I want you to talk to parents listening who think, well, that happens to other families. I feel so bad, but that happens to other families. That happens at other schools, other towns, other cities. That's far away. Because I doubt you ever imagined this would happen in Uvalde. It's a small, tight-knit community. What's your message to them?
I thought the same thing. I remember when Sandy Hook happened, I was at work, and it was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I feel for them. I've got to go and finish work.
Mm-hmm.
Went home, hugged my kids extra tight that day, and it didn't affect me the next day. Then Parkland happened. Same thing. I'm like, man, that sucks. But hey, I got to finish work and everything. Like I said before, it's not a matter of if it's going to happen to you. It's a matter of when, because I was one of those people. I thought, man, this will never happen to me. Never. This stuff that you see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to really humble myself. And I have went to victims and survivors of all of these school shootings. And I've personally apologized for not standing up and fighting beforehand, before it happened to me. Because, you know, it was just like, that sucks. But, you know, it doesn't happen. That's why I try to tell everybody is, get in on this fight before you're in my shoes. You know, you see pictures of me out there. I'm always wearing a shirt that has Uzziah's face on it and everything. Mm-hmm. You don't want your child's face on a shirt. You don't. Trust me. I don't wear this as a fashion accessory. I don't wear this. I wear these as a constant reminder and to show people that this could be you. Your child's face could be right here unless we do something about it. Sitting down and just ignoring it and, oh, it doesn't happen to me, it will happen to you.
I look at the photos of Uzziah and he's smiling. You know, the pictures that you put up. I watched a lot of your videos. You're so passionate about everything. And I don't think I told you this or not, but that happened on my birthday. And I remember I was accepting an award that night. And I remember being so sad and not being able to really, I guess, process my night, because I thought this happened right in our backyard, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I noticed that no one really talks about it anymore. There's been a couple of newscasters. Anderson Cooper, I noticed, is still going and trying to raise awareness, and we still do too. I talk about it as often as I can, trying to bring it up, because we don't want to forget these kids. We don't want to forget you, the parents. We don't want to forget the teachers who lost their lives or are injured for the rest of their life trying to protect their students, you know? So yes, I just want you to know that you have a huge community of people who have not forgotten. And maybe you don't hear us, but we're here. And we think about you and we pray for you. And prayers aren't enough. We are lobbying our local and state and federal politicians to make change. It's unfortunate that you asked a question like that of Mr. Gonzalez. And instead of him thinking, oh, my God, it could be my child, he ended the conversation. It disappoints me greatly.
Yes, ma'am. And I appreciate it. And that's one of the things, too, is I'm not ever going away. People might forget Uvalde. People might forget Uzi's face. But they're going to remember my face, and I'm going to force them to remember my child. I'm going to force them to remember his 18 classmates and his two teachers. Teachers who are severely underpaid and the state doesn't care about them, who actually cultivate our children. They laid their lives down while 376 officers didn't do anything. Person of the year, heroes of the year, it needs to be those two teachers because right. they literally gave their lives for our children.
I agree. Time magazine should consider that. I'm not kidding.
Yes, ma'am.
Those teachers should never be forgotten, and neither should your children. I want to thank you very much for the time, and let's talk again. See if we can find an
Absolutely.
Artist who you can work with. We're going to work on it. We have some big events coming. We'll talk to some people. Sorry, I started crying. I'm trying to wipe my nose and stuff in here. Yeah. But it was just, I don't even want to know what you feel because I pray to God it never happens to me. Our daughter had, there was an incident here, and her school was closed down, and there was an active shooter. It wasn't at her school, but we didn't know. And it was like, for 2 minutes, I was blubbering. I could not even, and when she called and said, we're okay, it's not our school, I freaked out. I was like, oh, because I know you're right. It could happen. But we're here for you. We're not going to forget you. We're also going to call you back. I'm going to try to get an artist. I don't know who, I don't know what, but we'll try to make something happen because we think...
I appreciate
it. And it's not just for Uzi. If you make this happen, it's going to be for everybody. They'll all appreciate what you're doing with the song.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
All right. Brett, thank you for the time. I mean, I know that you're busy. You work. I want you to say hello to your wife and tell her that we are thinking of you and her and the entire community. And if you ever need anything from us, if you ever have a message, please call us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Thank you,
ma'am. Thank you. Bye.